next speaker is Dr.
Nicholas
Burrow.
Yeah, there you go.
And Nicholas is going to talk about potential use of calcium sulfate byproducts as kind of agriculture amendments.
Yeah.
Okay. You have a few extra minutes.
Should I just wait a second, or go?
I don't think we should wait. We can talk.
Okay.
I try to talk longer than what you have.
Well, my practice was a couple minutes over, so I guess that works out. Hi, thanks for that introduction. My name is Nick Barrow, and I'm presenting on using a FGD product on agricultural soils. This is a little bit different than the typical FGD gypsum. Essentially, the final oxidation step is omitted, so it comes out as basically SO3 instead of SO4, so calcium sulfite instead of calcium sulfate. In conversations with the safety supervisor that helps me get the material, this is a Google Earth picture of the power plant that we pick it up from. Is there a mouse around here? Oh, there it is. So the power station is designed to last for 60 years. They just went through some upgrades and really improve the efficiencies and so on and so forth, and it's designed to last for 60 years. But in power production, there's always waste. So this is the waste pad over here. And in talking with that safety supervisor, the waste pad can only hold 20 years worth of waste. So they're losing a lot of designed lifetime of the power station, basically just because they have nowhere to put the waste product that comes off of their flue gas. Just a little bit of a scope of the production yearly of FGD projects or products. The American Coal Ash Association reports that about 30 million megagrams of gypsum are produced, and about 11 million megagrams of calcium sulfate are produced. So about a third of the FGD products are the calcium sulfate or sulfite. Of that, we use about 10 times more. Agriculturally, gypsum is used 10 times more than calcium sulfite. And a total scope of the use, gypsum is about 52% of the produced gypsum is used, but only about 15% of the calcium sulfite is produced. So it's really worthwhile to be able to use this on the land, because then the power plants will be able to use their entire lifespan. But with the burning of any coal or mined product, there comes with that some contamination. Typically what we looked at was heavy metals. Calcium sulfite, to previous studies, has shown some yield decline in low pH. From the literature, it looks like that the low pH creates sort of a hydrogen sulfide microenvironment, and the plant has trouble converting the sulfite to sulfate within the plant, and sulfite is about 30 times more toxic than sulfate. But there is a liming equivalence with the calcium, calcium carbonate equivalence. In the literature, that's listed at about 20 to 60%. And then a picture in the lower right is the actual material that we used. And it's a dry floury powder, and we took samples to determine how fast the rate of conversion from calcium sulfite to sulfate is. As in oxic environments, the literature shows that it does convert somewhat quickly. So we were hoping that was the case in our study as well. This is a characterization of the material we used. We had a bit higher calcium carbonate equivalent than typical. We were around 70% throughout the course of the study. And then the other four columns are heavy metals. So there was about 10 to 15 parts per million mercury. Iron or lead dropped rather quickly from 13 parts per million to an average of about 5 for the back 2 years of the study. We didn't really pick up any arsenic, and then selenium was an interesting heavy metal that we found in the literature, and that was about 20 to 25 parts per million on average throughout the course of the study. Selenium is a beneficial nutrient. It's not an essential nutrient. It's beneficial in low concentrations, but anything over 5 parts per million can be toxic to the livestock that consume any plants with selenium in it. So here are the crops we used. We had a corn-soy rotation for 3 years and an alfalfa, a full 3 year sand. We did that at the Arlington Agricultural Research Station in the south-central part of Wisconsin. It's a tiny little red dot at the bottom of that picture of Wisconsin there, and it was done on a very fertile, productive quinol silt loam soil. The treatments, we had basically a pre-season treatment, a mid-season treatment, and an end-of-season treatment. And for alfalfa, we did a mid-season treatment and a fall application. And then for each, we had two rates, either a single rate or a double rate of 2.24 megagrams per hectare or 4.48 megagrams per hectare, and then a non-applied control. So the sampling routine, we took six soil samples during application. We did one pre-app and then five post-app at the pre- and mid-season treatments, and then after the mid-season treatment in alfalfa. Plant samples, we took mid-season ear leaf and trifoliates from the corn-soy rotation and whole plant samples from the alfalfa, and then did silage and grain harvest for the corn and then the corn and soy. The parameters that we were concerned with was yield, heavy metals in the plant matter, and the end-of-season content, and we analyzed that through a handheld XRF. Then, because of that liming equivalence, we were concerned with the pH in the soil, and we tested that on the weekly post-application samplings and the end-of-season soil as well, and we did that in the lab. And then for the sulfite to sulfate conversion, we did that on those weekly post-application samples as well, and that was done by the Soil and Forage Analysis Lab in Marshfield, Wisconsin. So, getting straight to yield or results. And what we're looking for here, because the power plant we're working with wants to be permitted to land apply it, we're not looking for, like, saleable material. They want to be able to just add it to the land and not have detrimental effects. So as long as we're not below the non-applied control, we're happy with these results. And throughout the course of the study for corn yield, neither silage or grain really showed any declines. There was... the last year of the study, 2017, we did see an increase in silage yield in megagrams per hectare and at the dry silage matter yield. But at this, the high fall rate and the early spring rate, those are statistically similar. So it's good that we can apply these higher amounts and they're not negatively affecting yield. Soy grain, same story. The fall and pre-season treatment yielded the same or even greater than, or numerically greater than the non-applied control. So soy doesn't seem to be negatively affected by applying the calcium sulfite either. Alfalfa, the first year the establishment, we got two cuts. And then each successive year, we were able to cut it four times. And again, we only saw one statistical difference at the first cutting in 2016. And that fall rate actually had the highest highest yield. So this is, again, reassuring that we're not negatively affecting alfalfa yield. And typically, that high fall rate and performed numerically better than the non-applied control as well. So heavy metals in corn, this is a busy graph, but you can see there's a lot of zeros on it. Any dashes was from strategic sampling. Since we hadn't applied yet, we didn't sample that, and then the blanks in the bottom right just haven't had the time to harvest this year. The corn wasn't ready, and the conference came up. But you can see that there's really no mercury, lead, or selenium showing up in either, and across the top you can see the plant sample. There's nothing in the ear leaf, nothing in the silage, and nothing in the grain. We are seeing some slight numeric increases in end-of-season soil lead, but the EPA threshold for lead concern is 400 parts per million, so only at 20 parts per million, we are well below the threshold where the EPA would consider that harmful. Same story in soy, just a lot of zeros. Lead following the same similar story, right around 20 parts per million. All treatments were statistically similar to the non-applied control. And alfalfa. So again, no mercury or lead showing up in the in any of the plant matter for alfalfa. End of season soil, right around 20 parts per million. Did see a little bit of a elevated rate of lead, but it's only 4 parts per million higher than that 20 average, and still well below the 400 parts per million threshold. But you'll notice I omitted selenium, so I separated that out. And at the second cut, so that one treatment, the mid-season treatment, was right after the first cutting, and you can see that the high rate after first cut is over that 5 parts per million threshold that could be toxic to the consuming animals. So we're growing these crops as basically dairy forage systems, so farmers can take the products and feed their dairy cows. As I said, the selenium is a beneficial nutrient, so that high fall rate falls within that 1 to 5 parts per million that the literature has shown that beef production is increased with a little bit of selenium. Some people actually fertilize with selenium to get that benefit. The final year, we had less selenium in that after that first cut application. My hypothesis for this is 2015 and 2016, the climate in Wisconsin, we had very wet springs, and then basically July or June 1st, the heavens closed up and we didn't get much rain for the entire summer. In 2017, the rains continued through about the mid part of July, and typically our first cut was the first week of June, so this material was either washed into the soil where there was less uptake. I don't think this is a residual of the XRF picking up material on the plant matter itself. I think this is what is within the plant itself, because it did have, each cut was about a month to 5 weeks after application. So, and when we were out in the field cutting, I didn't see any residue on the plant itself. pH, the silt loam we had had a pH right around 7. It's a great soil. We did see elevated pHs in the applied plots. So on the right axis is the crop, and then the x-axis is date. For corn and soy, that would be the left side would be the early spring treatment. The right side would be that mid-season treatment. Then alfalfa, just for ease of visualization, that's the left side is 2016's first cut application and the right side is 2017's first cut. So the high rate typically did have elevated levels of pH showing that liming effect, but after the 5 week sampling interval, typically those pHs returned to the pre-application pH. So while there was a bump in pH, it did return to a normal level and nothing that would be of concern for plant nutrient uptake. End of season soil pH, typically things were statistically similar to the control. We did have some elevated pH in the alfalfa at the end of the season after the 2016 season, but again, it's right around neutral, right around 7, and nothing that would inhibit plant nutrient uptake. How quickly the calcium sulfite is converting to calcium sulfate. It looks like even before infiltration into the soil, a lot of it is converting to sulfate, as only about 25% of the total sulfur was the sulfite. But we didn't see any differences between the rate of conversion between the pre-season treatment and the mid-season treatment. And then the alfalfa, that the middle treatment basically followed with how much sulfur we were showing, whereas about a quarter was sulfite and then three quarters was sulfate. So it's good that it's converting rather quickly to a less toxic plant form. So in summary, fall applications maintain yield with some mixed results for spring applications. Applying that high rate of calcium sulfite after the first cut of alfalfa may result in hazardous levels of selenium, but it also may be weather dependent, so a farmer could strategically apply on that high rate, but there would be some risk involved. There is little risk of other heavy metals. The pH increases after application, but again, after about 6 weeks, returns to pre-application levels. The highest soil sulfite concentration was 1 week after application and declined after that, so that remained a plant-available form, which is good. And our recommendation, if you were to apply, would be a fall application, which allows time for that conversion to complete over the winter and for dissolution into the soil of any of the heavy metals. And for some ideas for our future research, since we weren't picking up any of the mercury in the soil, but clearly we were applying some, investigating whether or not that's leaching down through the profile, or perhaps complexing and getting bound within the soil, slightly below the root zone, and then doing a laboratory heavy metals analysis to compare our XRF results, just to make sure that what that's reading is accurate to what's actually there. And I'd like to acknowledge our lab team members, the workers at Fall who helped us work out some of the analysis, the Alliant Energy safety supervisor, and then Wisconsin Power and Light, which owns Alliant Energy, for funding the project. With that, I'll take any questions. Right.
But in the power plant wants to get rid of it, okay. But the incentive for the grower to take it is
the incentive, well, there'd be some incentive for alfalfa because of the selenium. And that would have to essentially be something that the power plant would have to work out with the farmer. Because you're right. There's our results showed no increase, so there wouldn't be like an incentive for the farmer. So the power plant would have to work out those sort of details with the farmer, because it is that the onus is on the power plant to get rid of it as opposed to the farmer to use it. You're correct.
Can I ask?
Go ahead. Right, so we our plots were 3 meters by 10 meters.
But
so
you have any acres performed by the power plant is in the
what I'm not exactly sure what their yearly production, so I don't have their numbers of the specific power plant's yearly production. We took like one tote, and that was good for three rounds of application. And yeah, they have giant towers, so I mean, they would need a lot of acreage, but I don't have that specific number, what they would need. But that's a good question to know, because, like you said, they might have to contract with a lot of people to be able to do that.